Welcome to Season 4 of the Chai Brave Podcast. This is your invitation to grab a cup of piping hot chai and get ready for chaivizations that nourish the soul and inspire your everyday. This season, we're diving deep into the world of sustainable living. More than ever, we need to find ways to live in harmony with our planet. So throughout the season, I'll be talking to climate tech entrepreneurs, exploring practical tips from experts, and uncovering the joy of living a life that's good for you and good for Mother Earth. Hello, hello, and welcome to the special edition of the Chai Break Podcast. And I'm delighted to welcome back Rama.
Hey. Hi, Shweta. How are you?
My gosh, it's been a while, right? It's been a while. And isn't it crazy? It's November already. Like, how?
I know. This has been a roller coaster ride. And I have taken a pause for an entire season to just take care of, work-related stuff and just settling down in our new place in Cleveland. So thank you for giving me that space and time. But we got to get together for a special episode like this. This is much needed.
Yes. I mean, we did, like, you know, for our listeners, we did a gratitude special 2 years ago and we discussed it at length, how to practice it, what our gratitude practice looks like, what our rituals around it look like, and so much more. Mm-hmm. And here we are again, and you might be wondering why. But, you know, just thinking about going back to the roller coaster 2024 we've had, it's just not me or Rama or, you know, you specifically listening, but the world, right? And this time there are so many layers and nuances, very strong feeling and many deep questions that I've been pondering over and not quite finding the answers. And I'm sure maybe you've also been in the same space. So recently I turned to Rama and that's what sparked the idea for this special episode, because we were thinking if, you know, we're not alone and I'm sure you're also in the same state of mind. So let's just get together and have this chaivization to kind of be vulnerable, be open, you know, whatever those deep questions are, just put everything out there. Because I think where we're coming from is also a place of immense privilege. And that is something that has come to the forefront this entire year. And, you know, I always have thought of myself as someone who's apolitical. I've stayed away from politics, you know, whether it was during COVID or whatever, the news cycle and all of that. For years, I did try to stay away. And I've also, like, in today, especially, you know, with how quick people are to judge in today's online space and offline space, I've kind of shied away, you know, from saying what I truly believe in, right? That being said, I know that everything in this world, I've understood, and I think I've come to accept the reality that everything in this world is political at some level, whether at a granular level, a high level, period, it is political. And having said that, if you all have listened to me and you know this very well about me, Rama, that I just go through the world with my heart on my sleeve. Like, that's just who I am.
And you're an empath, Shweta.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, certain, you know, whether news and certain, you know, things just affect me so deeply. Yeah. So this human suffering that is happening really makes me go into a spiral. And that's where I've kind of been. And I've just been besides myself. I'll say I've felt absolutely hopeless, unable to understand, unable to wrap my head around how the world is turning a blind eye to Palestinian suffering. And since then, it's been Congo, it's been Sudan, it's been Lebanon. Well, fully, like, and I think just knowing that the sheer power and money, that this is what is reigning supreme in this capitalistic world, while there are not only, it's not just me, there are thousands and millions of people around the world who are all sitting helpless. And the fact is that this has not been happening just from, you know, last year, right? You know, they have been suffering for over 75 years. And again, like, you know, if you talk about the media, like, we have not been educated. So in that sense, I do see, like, the plus side, although it should not be this way, that but I can see how it can, it's affected me and hence affected millions, affected their mental health and so much more. Because, you know, you open your social media, you see, you know, a friend or a family on vacation. Next, you see an influencer, you know, doing a cooking video. And then the next, you just scroll down, you see a child dying in its mother's arms. And you're like, why? Why are we watching helplessly here and not being able to do anything? And in that light, you know, I have started looking at gratitude as this very self-centered, very selfish light, because I'm like, here I am, you know, having this cushy, safe, relatively easy life, going about my gratitude journal and all of my rituals and all of that. And not only for one do I feel absolutely that there is no way I should be complaining about anything in life, given what is happening. And I also, I think what really affected me was what, from the time since 5 years, I started, you know, mindfulness and spirituality and all of that. There are certain people, you know, I follow online. And what I saw was that these so-called wellness gurus seem to just continue with their affirmations and rituals as though nothing is happening. So it felt, it's constantly felt like there's a little bubble, you know, of suffering somewhere there. And here everything is just fine, you know, and we're just going about our life. And that truly, truly threw me off. And it just got me thinking that how privatized and individualistic worldview, you know, is what is modern mindfulness.
So interesting you're saying that.
Because there's one thing, there's one little quote that I read, you know, there's this author, his name is Ron Persers, and he studied Buddhism and he practices Buddhism. And he's a professor at a university in San Francisco. And he wrote this book, one of his many books about mindfulness, and it was called Beyond Mac Mindfulness. And I think when I was talking to you about it, and even when I was thinking about how to put forth what I wanted to say about this specific thing, I couldn't find the words until I read this quote from one of his books. And he said, if we were to harness the true revolutionary potential of mindfulness, we have to cast off its neoliberal shackles, liberating mindfulness for a collective awakening. And it just, it's giving me the goosebumps just reading that, you know? And I think that is exactly the space I'm in. And I know even I brought this up to you and discussed, you had some very profound thoughts about it, the deeper thoughts about it that kind of made me, you know, think about and reflect and kind of, you know, not guilt trip myself, you know, because it's been a very, there's so many emotions, strong emotions, and it's been really hard.
No, absolutely. I think you and many thousands other people, I think this is a time of a lot of self-reflection, and people have, there are a lot of empaths around, you know, empaths attract empaths. So it's like the vibe, your tribe. So it's not just you. So I'm sure the circle around you feels that way, that kind of even makes you think about it even more stronger, because everybody you meet and see around you is actually kind of having this empathetic viewpoint of the world. Like you are, it almost feels like you're soaking that burden, you're taking that burden. The sadness that's happening in Gaza or anywhere right now, that sadness, you're easily able to absorb it. And it drives you to question some of the fundamentals that you have learned, which is like, oh, you know, you have to be grateful, you have to be, you know, happy that you're alive, and you've got to be thankful for everything that you have while somebody else is dying somewhere else, right? And so the question is, should I be still sitting here and listening to all those gurus telling me to be mindful, to raise my vibration and consciousness, whereas I feel like none of that is matters because it feels like it's only helping me, and that makes me so selfish. So it's a very common thought process, especially in these times. And I think we hear so many people, news media, everybody's just talking about this. People are talking about how helpless they are about a situation that's going on in another part of the world. But seriously, when you think about this, really more of in a self-reflection way and deeply, you have to really identify, is your journey similar to somebody else's journey in this universe. So that's where I come from. Like when we were talking the other day on the phone and you were explaining all this, whatever you just mentioned, part of, you know, I have the same feeling, Shweta. I have the same viewpoints as well. But what's helped me, and this is, comes from reading, especially the Bhagavad Gita, what comes is your situation is very similar to when Arjuna was in the, you know, the Kurukshetra war. Krishna was the charioteer and Arjuna was the warrior in the chariot. And he wanted Krishna to take him to the mid-center of field because he wanted to identify who he is battling with. And when he saw the people on the other side, you know, and he saw Bhishma, he saw some of the very prominent figures that have actually helped him and shaped him in his life. And now he has to go there and he has to have a war with them and he has to fight. And so he wanted to just give up. He's like, what is the need? Why should I go to, just because I have to win this war, go kill the people that actually helped me at a certain stage in my life? But now, currently, they are in my opposing team. For which Krishna says, it is all boils down to karma, and which is indirectly your duty. What is your duty in this life? What is your journey in this life? So I think the answer comes really to that particular, to answer the particular, what is my journey in this life? Everybody comes here for a certain purpose, and that purpose is different for each other. Ultimately, love is the binding force for all of us. But the journeys are very different to finally see that love and bliss, right? So as someone who sits there and worries about the war and what goes on, by trying to not, you know, sometimes not feel that gratitude and feeling a bit selfish and guilty about even feeling good, you are actually reducing your vibration. And people must have heard about the Hawkins scale of vibrations, right? Where you have the lowest vibration is envy, jealousy, fear is the lowest vibration, and then love is the highest vibration. And the world, if you think about it, wherever there is good, there is going to be evil or bad. And the world is always
the balance.
The world is always going to be in a state of balance. So if you are going to, you know, find good in the world, you will also see the contrast exists. And that's how the good balances the bad. I'm not trying to reason out saying, okay, you know what, ignore the war, Shweta, you know, war is good. You know, it's always going to happen because there's always going to be good and bad. No feel about the war, but kind of come from a very objective place about this world and feel more grateful that you are in the good side and not really on the side where these, all these really sad things are happening. It doesn't make sense. So basically,
no, it does.
Because that is the fundamental of gratitude. You know, you have, it's your journey and world is going to be always in the state of contrast. And the idea ultimately is the universe is always going to find the balance. There's always yin and yang. And you always have to go deep within and look at the objective. And like how Krishna told Arjuna, it is your karma and your duty and your journey. And by raising your vibration and feeling happy thoughts and feeling grateful for your existence right now, you are connected cosmically. The vibration in surrounds you and ultimately the vibration that binds the entire universe. So this is how the good can defeat the bad. By raising the vibration and cosmic consciousness. So it is so important to feel grateful.
This makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, during this time, like, you know, I have broken down. I have had, you know, major catharsis, just crying. Because you have to let it out, right? Whether it's you have, whether it's journaling or whatever that is, you have to let it out. And I have found solace in the fact that what can I do? Like going back to that quote, right? You know, for collective awakening. What can I do? And this is something I brought up in therapy with my therapist. And, you know, she was like, let it out. You want to cry? Cry it out. But then just try to think as an individual, as Shweta, what can you do? Are there things you can do? And it's not about the magnitude of what you can do, right? You know, it is in within your own capacity, however small or big, you know, at least you, you're answerable at the end of the day to your own self, to your conscience, right? And so whether it is, you know, sharing what's happening and spreading, you know, and talking about it to people, you know, and having a discussion and educating them or whether it is, you know, our newsletter, the Chai Break newsletter. I had put down, you know, people who were donating for efforts, for aid efforts there. And it was also about like, so everything I've been doing and support brands that, you know, are supporting the cause and boycott the brands that are not, you know, because you also realize the power of people, the power of actually communities and countries coming together in mass. And we saw what happened with Starbucks, right? Like that. So to me, like, that's how I have navigated day to day.
Very good.
The emotions that I go through day to day to, you know, just find those little pockets of like, you know, okay, I'm doing my best.
That's correct. So basically what you're saying is in that same Bhagavad Gita thing, you are doing your dharma, your duty, and you're reaping your, this is your karma, right? And so what you're doing is actually helping in some way the current situation.
Yeah.
It could look like you're not right there in Gaza supporting the Palestinians, or you're not right there in the place that's happening, you know, things are happening.
Yeah.
And it feels like you need to be there. That's when you really felt you've helped. But in your own way, you're actually helping this universe, right? You're helping the cause. It may be in the subtlest and smallest way, but you are contributing to a certain global shift in consciousness.
That is true.
And I think that is where gratitude is kind of the big, important, big step towards embarking on this, you know, helping this global shift.
Yeah.
And I think what you're doing is fundamentally the most important thing. You're doing something to help that. But if you sit back and question, is it right for me to even be happy when somebody else is suffering?
Yeah.
You are automatically, that shift that you're producing, you're actually getting it back to decline.
Yeah.
And your job here right now is to really keep shifting that consciousness to a higher state. So helping people directly or indirectly, or just being the way, having a lifestyle that helps that cause, and just being in that state of happiness and gratitude slowly shifts that consciousness. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is like a blanket that goes everywhere around.
Yeah.
So then wherever there was evil, you might see that shift in consciousness. And then that's where the goodness will slowly start coming in. And so gratitude, it is important.
You know, this reminds me what you're talking about. You know, I follow this very well-known and learned astrologer. Her name is Pam Gregory. And astrology is very different. It's very science-based. And, you know, she connects what's happening in the world with science. And so she actually has this worldwide meditation of coming together for 15 minutes on a Sunday. There is no Zoom link. There is nothing. At this, say 7 p.m. on a Sunday, right? Wherever you are, whatever time that is for you.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, let us virtually all hold hands and sit in love for 15 minutes.
Yes.
And she talks about this, you know, shift in consciousness.
Yes.
And the power of that, it's giving me goosebumps. So, you know, I feel like, you know, even small things like that. And I think one of the biggest things that has helped me power through this very difficult time is that, and what's in fact a borderline mainly affected me so deeply was my role as a mother. And I think you will also agree, right? You know, like literally my heart was like torn and it was literally shredded, you know, seeing the images of mothers losing their children. Like nobody, no human should go through that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very intense feeling, right? And I think the way I channeled that was to actually talk to 9-year-old Dia in a way, sort of educate her about history, show her the map and tell her the history of, you know, what has been happening and what is happening. Because obviously, you know, at the end, she's 9. So there's a lot of chatter going on in school about it.
Yeah.
There is no way of like getting around it. And now she can read the newspaper, you know, so she opens it and she reads it. She sees the headlines. So I took it upon myself to educate her and, you know, to get the facts right. And at least in that sense, you know, kind of like answer, be answerable in a good way to my own consciousness that I'm on the right side of history and I'm leading the way for the next generation to also be educated in the right sense.
Perfect. Yes. So literally you're doing, from your perspective, whatever is the right thing to do to help shift the global consciousness to a higher vibratory state.
Yeah.
Right. I was looking at this video this morning as I was thinking about gratitude. And there is this video by Martha Beggs. She's a sociologist and a scientist. And she talks about the pyramid world is existing, where you have people who are in deprivation, starvation, poverty, people who are unhappy because of, you know, they are not able to meet their needs.
Basic needs.
Basic needs. And then slowly the pyramid goes on, where ultimately there are much better, you know, the people who are originally holding the topmost pyramid is most powerful. This is the whole capitalist system. Very few people hold the strongest power.
Yeah.
And that drives the rest of the world. And the bottom most people are the ones that suffer.
Yeah.
So how do you topple this pyramid? The pyramid, and it was a brilliant explanation. So this bottom, and then there are these separate cups. She showed in a separate bowl of colored water. And if you move the water, it just moves around in ripples. And that is, those are the people who are trying to shift the consciousness. If you think about it, it's the water movement. So take this bowl of water with the people who are just doing exactly what you said, trying to raise the vibration, feel gratitude. Let's meditate together, heartfulness meditation. Let's do all of this. So these people who, the few people, the wellness gurus, so-called gurus you were talking about, by what they're doing is they're trying to stir that sea of consciousness, right? And if you take that and you just topple over the pyramid, it looks like this consciousness only at the base, and it's really not coming to the top to topple. But what's happening is as this water slowly starts moving around, the foundation starts rocking. And when the foundation starts rocking, the pyramid is bound to collapse. The top has to go to the bottom. And just that's a beautiful way of explaining what the few people who are helping shift the consciousness. And it doesn't look like a lot. It feels like, oh my God, they need to stop talking like this because this is not helping. That child is still dying there. But what they're trying to do, and I think this is where all of our roles involved, is that they are, by even spreading this message, be grateful, be kind, meditate, you know, send love, even if you're not directly there, send love. Is they're doing that ripple reflex in the consciousness. And that is only bound to, over time, bring the top down. And that is why this Thanksgiving Day, as people celebrate with families and friends, and as much as there is this war and poverty, starvation, things are going, happening, two things people have to remember. The world is always going to be in a state of contrast because it's always seeking the balance, right? And two, your role here is to only recognize the positive things that's happening in your life. Look for the positive aspects that's happening in the world. And don't shy away from the negative. Take it, but accept that negative exists.
You know, it's very interesting. You know, as you were saying this, I remembered something. You know, for us, you know, we're watching the negative and we're trying to find the positive, right? But I have been following, you know, like from a little kid, her name is Renad. She's 10 years old, literally the year's age, to this, you know, man who was a food blogger. All of these people are on the ground right now living in Gaza. And they've lived now for what, 410 days, you know, of this war. And this little girl, all she does is she cooks. She has this little stovetop and she cooks and she still smiles. And then now she's partnered with HCI Canada and then she distributes, you know, aid. And when I look at that, like one thing, and I think this is said a lot about even in the media, and it's so, so, so true, is that through all of these struggles, resilience is something I, when I look at the Palestinian people, I completely surrender and bow down to them because I have not seen this kind of resilience. And with whatever little they have, they are ready to share. They are ready to, you know, if, oh, okay, today we don't have, you know, we have a glass of water and it's completely dirty. They're finding ways to, like, with whatever resources they have, like a piece of gauze, to like filter out that water. they're finding new ways to, you know, just live and live contently with whatever little, which is barely anything, you know, for human, you know, survival. And in spite of that, they are continuing to inspire. And when they show that kind of strength, and I think it kind of, you know, gives you hope, right? Because we're humans, right? And we look for hope in even the most hopeless situation.
They're trying to find beauty in whatever exists mm-hmm, there. Mm-hmm. And I think that sends a strong message for us to find the beauty. So I think let's just jump to how we can actually approach gratitude at a time when there's so many things that's happening mm-hmm. in the world that feels too heavy, right? Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned, gratitude doesn't mean you're being selfish. It doesn't mean you're ignoring the suffering and just being grateful for a wonderful life you're leading. Mm-hmm. It really is kind of the opposite. We talked about raising the vibration by really feeling grateful that you're alive. And the fact that you're alive is such an important thing because you are being of some service to this universe, like mm-hmm. how you're doing, Shweta. So be grateful for just that existence.
Yeah.
So allow yourself to feel the emotions that comes with this hardship that you feel. Allow the emotions to come. Let the emotions grow loud. If you want to cry about it, if you want to feel heavy about it, mm-hmm. please do all of that. But at the end of the day, this is how the world operates.
Yeah, and I think you're acknowledging the pain and injustice.
Yeah, acceptance, mm-hmm. a certain level of acceptance that this is always going to be the state of the world.
Yeah.
The world is always going to have this good and bad. And we probably know more about wars now because of the media and the news. But wars have always been there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, suffering has always been there. That's a state of humankind.
Yeah.
So just acknowledging that pain will always exist and coming from a place of love and compassion mm-hmm. is probably the most important. And, you know, like we said, our vibe, our tribe. So you will find a strange sense of relief and support when you really meet people mm-hmm. who also think and feel the way that you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have those connections, feel the gratitude in those connections and building that community, you know, rallying up to support things and, you know, pushing the envelope little by little. So changes start happening, mm-hmm. but be grateful for that little community that you already have.
Yeah. And I think the other one we've talked about, right? To reflect on your own power and privilege to help. And I think once we do that, you know, we can, I think, come out of like, if there are people like me who are feeling this way about gratitude in this moment. And I think that is a great way to find your way out of it in a positive and impactful way, whether it's donating, volunteering, even sharing resources online, you know, doing all of that is you doing your part. And by doing your part, then you have something to be grateful for because you are using that privilege that you have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. And it's a fuel for hope, right? Mm-hmm. That gratitude doesn't really erase the hardship, but it can give us strength to keep going and to support those people. So it's an act of resilience, a testament to the human potential, that ultimately it is these kind of positive vibrations and a shift in consciousness that ultimately will help heal the world and rebuild the world. Mm-hmm. So, Shweta, let's talk about, you know, how you actually opened this really well about your own feelings, trying to understand the state of the world and your compassionate, empathetic side there and, you know, feeling gratitude in this state and how that doesn't really sit well with you. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about, let's like kind of dial down and just focus on that particular aspect about the role of gratitude in adversity, right? Mm-hmm. What does it actually do in adversity? We've had the pandemic. We've had the wars now. We're seeing social injustice. There is economic instability right now. And the current political climate talks a lot about that. Mm-hmm. And in these periods of immense uncertainty and anxiety, gratitude actually plays a kind of a dual role. It softens our hearts towards the pain of others. Thereby, it's inspiring compassion and action. But simultaneously, we are also attuned to our own blessings.
Front and center.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The effects are not conflicting at all. It's actually mutual. It's a mutually reinforcing virtuous cycle of empathy and peace. Because when you feel gratitude, you're in a state of love and peace.
Yeah.
And when you're in that state of love and peace, you can help others better. Mm-hmm. You can help the cause better. But if you go from a state of like, this sucks, this is bad, I don't even know why I should be thankful for, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and trying to help others, it really doesn't work very well. Yeah. When the act you're performing for others or whatever is actually, it takes significance only when you come from a place of fulfillment and love.
Yeah.
And so that's where gratitude really has this huge role. Mm-hmm. The Stoics too, I believe in Stoicism as well. Mm-hmm. I've read Marcus Aurelius' works. And even the Stoics too have recognized this transformative power. In fact, Marcus Aurelius has urged us to see everything as a gift, including life's hardships. Because if life did not throw those curveballs, if life did not have those hardships, how would you grow?
Yeah.
If you did not see the world taking a plunge like that, mm-hmm. if you did not hear the things in others, and when you see it, the compassion comes out, and then through that, another opportunity to see something else different comes yeah. out. And that helps your growth journey.
It puts things in perspective, for sure.
It really does mm-hmm. put things in perspective. And we can appreciate even the painful experiences True. As essential to our growth. So mm-hmm. it all kind of stems from that place yeah. of gratitude. So be happy or be thankful that you get the opportunity to even face these life's mm-hmm. hardships mm-hmm. because it is shaping the person. Like this, your soul is going through the journey that it came here to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think doing your part through all of it is how, you know, you can be answerable to yourself more than anything else.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about Bhagavad Gita before, and I just wanted to bring that up again, that if you look at, you know, Bhagavad Gita, it reminds us, which is for the audience who don't know what Bhagavad Gita is, it's actually a sacred Hindu text or scriptures based mm-hmm. on the mythology of Mahabharata, mm-hmm. right? It is exactly the sequence where the battle between the good and evil occurs. And these scriptures are what Krishna imparts to Arjuna, the warrior, during these troubling times of war, mm-hmm. kind of as a guidance to what Arjuna should do as a next best step. So this literally talks about life, Bhagavad Gita. So a text like Bhagavad Gita reminds us that every challenge is an opportunity to connect with the deeper divine self mm-hmm. and grow. Mm-hmm. And in this sense, gratitude actually, from the context of Bhagavad Gita, becomes an act of surrender mm. and recognize the life's massive big design, the overall picture, and look at the big picture and surrender and trust in yeah. a divinity.
Mm-hmm. And the divine can be anything.
It can be anything.
It yeah. can be any shape or form. It can be anything. And I think just knowing that there is that greater power, mm-hmm. whatever that is, you know, whether it's just the vibration of the universe, because ultimately we're all vibrational beings.
Yes.
Or if there is, you know, say you have your Allah, Ganesha or Jesus, whoever yeah. that is, right? I think reaching out for that and seeking that
yeah.
Not only gives you solace, but it also kind of, you know, helps you through these tough times.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it strongly emphasizes on focusing on the positive.
Yeah.
Instead of dwelling on the negative aspects of a very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways to focus on the positive is practice gratitude
yeah.
for the good things that exist in your life. Even if they seem very small at this time, be grateful mm-hmm. because the ripple effect of it is far larger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so do you want to talk a little bit about, I think the audience by now would know the benefits of gratitude, guys, because we've been
yes.
talking a lot about that.
Yeah.
But one key takeaway, the bigger benefit is by practicing gratitude, we recenter our focus on 100%. What truly matters,
100%.
Creating that space for joy, that growth, that transformation, which can only come when hardships happen.
Yeah, the turbulent times teach you so much.
Yeah, right? There's not a single person who said like, oh, I had a great life, everything was fun, and I learned so much from that fun.
Yeah.
You always learn so much from the challenge.
Yeah, no, I think it all. I always go back to Nami's episode, you know, yeah. the life coach who we interviewed.
Yeah.
And she talks about, she actually shared so much hardship that she went through. And she's like, I wouldn't have life any other way. And I remember I've had conversations with you,
yeah.
you know, about your early, you know, hardships. And you've also said the same thing to me,
yeah.
that you wouldn't have it any other way. Right. Absolutely. And I think that is, you know, the full circle healing that comes. And that's where it kind of gives you that new perspective,
yeah.
you know, like from up in a perch and not like down in the center where everything is like, you know, on fire and burning up kind of thing.
Correct. And this is another thing I wanted to also talk about, that we are all interconnected, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So a war is happening somewhere, a poverty is happening somewhere. When we hear all these things, we're sitting so many thousand miles away, but we still feel that visceral reaction when we hear these things.
Yeah.
Because we are, the time and space is just a concept, but we're also connected. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this interconnectedness is it's a glue. We're all actually glued to each other in some way because of our energy and vibration, right?
That's such a beautiful thing.
It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's why these practices, especially in times, on harder times, is so important, because when you practice and you are in a state of peace and joy, because we're a glue, it just sticks to the other person, yeah, whoever you meet, mm-hmm, and come across. And imagine that ripple effect that can go through. It can just shift the global consciousness. That way you're actually helping the war, the famine, the poverty.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In a way. So you're trying to shift the globe. So everybody, let's just be grateful. Let's accept, be grateful, and help the adversity by really practicing gratitude.
Yeah. Do your part and, you know. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we, you know, did this episode, because I think it helped me navigate a lot of things I have been feeling.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, again, put things in perspective.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes, you know, in all facets of life, right, when we think of impact, we always think about big impact.
Yeah.
And we forget to recognize the little things that you can do,
yeah,
in your own capacity and still make a difference. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and we both would love to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah.
You can write to us at chaibreakpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a DM on our Instagram account. We would absolutely love hearing from you. Yeah, do let us know what you think of the episode.
Yeah, sure. Let us know what you think. And this was such a heavy topic, but such a passionate topic, yes, for the both of us.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
We thoroughly enjoyed it. And yes, I hope you did too.
So until next time, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for season 4 of the Chai Break podcast. We hope you leave here feeling inspired. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram at chai_break_podcast. Want even more sustainable goodness? Sign up for our monthly newsletter at chaibreakpodcast.substack.com, packed with exclusive content, new episode drops, and more. And don't forget to like, share, and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Your support means the world to us.